Hi guys, thank you so much for listening to the Gig Economy Podcast, and thank you to our Patreon members. You get this episode first. We have Brian Dixon from DrivingFool.com. You can follow him at Twitter at DrivingFool.com. He wrote a book about all his stories and, you know, his adventures. He's had I can't remember what he said, but he's had a ton of rides, and it was just really interesting to read his book. If you go to DrivingFool.com, you can read some of the sample stories there. You can buy the book on Amazon. Search for Rear View Mirror, True Stories of Unusual Rides and Crazy Passengers from a Late Night Uber Driver. It was a good read. It was a fun read. It was a short read. I encourage you to check it out. So that's Amazon, or go to DrivingFool.com. Also, I will put the links in the show notes. All right, guys, enjoy the interview. Well, Brian, thank you for joining us tonight. We're just going to get right into it. So I did not read all your book. I will let you know that. I'm just going to be honest. I'm an honest kind of guy. I read some of the stories. Jesper read some of the stories, and
I read the sample because you wouldn't give me the book.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Not you, Brian. Jason wouldn't give me the book because you had given it to him.
Yeah.
I see. No.
But it feels like a very good read, and I think I will read it at some point because it's something I can get right into.
It's a pretty short read, and it's just a collection of short stories, actual factual events that took place. And I'm telling you, if you do enough rides in a big city late at night, you're going to come across some colorful characters.
Well, and I think you and I mean, I've always spouted that the main reason why I drive was always, I call it my therapy, right? Because to me, it's about getting out there and talking to people. And so I think from the gist I got from the sample, it feels like it was the same for you.
It really was. I mean, the best part of the job is you meet such a diverse group of people. Everybody comes from a different perspective, but everybody has a story. And then late at night, you combine some alcohol and, you know, some other things with it. And it makes for some interesting experiences, some good, some bad, some will roll your socks up and down. I mean, you get a little of everything. I mean, I'm telling you, I've had everything imaginable happen in the car, having done 20,000 plus rides. So
wow.
I was gonna say, I think I'm a little bit shy of four total on both platforms. But I've always just been a weekend warrior. What about you, Jason? Where are you at? Do you remember?
I think I was at about eight. I think.
Okay.
I do gig work in the winter. I'm a seasonal worker, so in the summer I'm doing lawn fertilization, and then since Uber and Lyft came around, I'd always do some sort of side hustle. In the winter, I never went on unemployment. I don't want to sit around. I'm kind of a mover and a shaker, so ended up I would deliver pizzas or whatever, and then gig work came around. I'm like, oh man, this is perfect. I do it basically from November to mid-March. I do gig work full time.
Okay, makes sense. I actually stopped driving May of last year when the pandemic hit hard. I was picking up, you know, 18 to 22 year olds in, you know, I'd get them, they would come from a garage with 40 people, no mask, no social distancing, nothing. And at a certain point I was like, this just really isn't worth it anymore. I stopped driving altogether at that point.
Well, let's go back to Brian, when you started, just kind of the history of why you got into it, and then up to today's time, are you doing any kind of gig work and those kind of things?
Okay, fair enough. I started in beginning of 2015 as what I thought was in quotation marks, a temporary gig. This is a pretty unique area. Some partners and I were working on a startup. I needed to work by day in the startup, and then this was a perfect opportunity to generate some extra income at night, you know, old story. The startup took longer than expected. And, you know, as one thing led to another, I found myself 5 years later, you know, still humping Uber and Lyft at night. And I found, Jesper, like you said, I mean, I found it almost therapeutic because I'm a people person. Yep. I'll talk to anybody, anytime, any place. And you have so many unique situations happen to you that it keeps it interesting and fresh until you pick up that person at 2 a.m. and they're an absolute mess. And then you question why you're doing it in the first place.
I actually don't. I know what you mean. Again, there's obviously a big difference between LA, your market, and Grand Rapids, our market, right? Grand Rapids is tiny compared to LA.
Right.
And so
I'm actually Bay Area. I'm actually San Francisco Bay Area.
Bay Area. So yeah. What size, how big is Bay Area compared to, I mean, I think we have about 400,000 people in Grand Rapids.
Just in, I don't know the exact figures, but just in San Jose, you're looking at, I don't know, 5 million people or something.
So there you go.
and then you extend that to the entire Bay Area and you head up and you're going from San Jose through the Silicon Valley and all the startup people. Then you head to San Francisco and hit the city, which has a totally different vibe. And then you hit East Bay and make the big loop. So you're covering a lot of miles, you know, even in a given night. So,
right. No, and so you don't ever sit still.
No. No, and it's interesting. The people, there is a difference. The people that you're picking up in San Jose were different than the people you're picking up in Palo Alto versus San Francisco versus, Oakland. Yep. So,
and I can see that definitely.
Yeah.
But obviously, given the fact that we are much smaller market, we have I've experienced some of that, right? Mostly, I got to admit my you were talking about in the sample, I read that you only had one puker in the car, right? And I'm way over that.
Yeah, unfortunately, not to be too graphic, but mine was, so let me take a step back. I yep. swore after the first New Year's Eve, I'd never work another one again.
Yep.
And famous last words. And of course, the dollar signs get dangled in front of you. The carrot gets dangled. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do it this year and pick a group of guys up late at night. They were all hammered. And unfortunately, the guy that got sick gave me no warning. And sorry to be graphic, he had curry that night.
Oh, that's the worst.
It was so bad. It was so bad. Anyways, never again, never again.
So you were done driving early that night, huh?
Yeah, for sure. But just one incident, knock on wood, in 20,000 plus rides, that's not too bad an average.
Oh, no. So we have a lot of college students here. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times we would take college students home. And I think, I probably had between 5 and 10 pukers. I only stopped counting. And most of them are college students.
Okay.
Yeah, and the problem with our college is most of them went to Grand Valley, which is about a 20-minute drive out of the city. So it's not like a mile down the road to the dorm. No. It's kind of a hike. So you are really rolling the dice when you take these kids back.
Yeah, it's about 15, 20 minutes when if they had a bunch of shots before they got in the car, it's going to hit them right as you're dropping them off. So.
Right. Absolutely.
We're professionals now, though. We all carry puke bags and I'll be like, that person looks suspicious. And they get in. I'll be like, hey, just to let you know, there's puke bags in front of you. There's no shame in using that. I don't want to charge you the cleanup fee. And you don't want to piss me off by puking in my car. So please puke in the bag.
Okay. You guys, I realize you didn't complete the book. But if you read one story on that note, Jason, is there, I have a story called Trust Me, I'm a Professional. And in brackets, I called it the vomit trough.
Oh.
And I had three guys that were apps. One guy was, they were carrying him in the car and I refused the ride and the guy convinced me to bring him in. And once they brought him in, they orchestrated this perfect vomit trough with a bag. And I go into detail. It was one of the most hilarious rides I've ever had. I mean, perfectly. One guy held him up. They put their hand through. They put it over his head. They stuck his head in the bag, and they're screaming, keep your head in the bag. Keep your head in the bag. And his famous last words when I dropped him off was, I said, man, you guys really are professionals, aren't you? And they ended up being EMTs. And this was a technique that they use with this bag. And
oh, yeah.
It was perfect. Not a drop in the car.
It's always hilarious when you get that the team members of the really drunk person, they're like, oh no, this is my Uber. You are not puking in this car. Like we are going to make this work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I had one night where I had a lady in there. It was a man and a woman. And she had obviously puked in the car before, and she knew what it was going to cost her. So, and this was back when they were still charging $250, so they were still giving $250 in cleanup fee,
right?
And so she had a fairly small handbag with her, right? And I kid you not, she kept everything in the handbag.
Oh no!
Oh yeah, she opened it up and she let go into the handbag and she closed it neatly again. She was done.
That's beautiful. It costs a lot less than $250. Hopefully, I know.
But there was nothing in the car. So
This is where you say to her or in your head, I think this girl has a drinking problem because if she knows to puke in the bag,
she's been to the same store 10 times to buy the same bag, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Brian, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, going back into, I before we stop tonight, obviously we're not stopping yet, Brian, but I need to hear the ending of the Dawn and Francine story because I want to just read the rest of it.
which story?
The first story in the book, the Dawn and Francine, this loud couple who got into the car.
Oh, the ones that made me sing with them?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, all right. Okay, so there's a posh retail establishment in San Jose called Santana Row. Okay. And it has restaurants and clubs and retail. You can even buy a Tesla there if you really want to. So I picked this couple up, and I'm in my 50s. So they got in, and they were about the same age.
Yep.
And they were having a grand time. Now, they were buzzed, but they weren't hammered. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And they get in, and right immediately I liked them. And they're like, hey, Brian, how you doing? I'm like, hey. And I really like the vibe. I said, hey, I'm great, guys. How you doing? And they said, can you turn on some music? And I'm like, yeah, of course. What do you want to hear? And they said, we want to hear some rock. And I said, oh, okay. So I didn't know if they were talking about soft rock or, indie rock or hard rock. But I grew up with I'm a classic rock guy. So yep. I grew up with that, and I said, okay, fine. So I'm going through the channels, and we hit like the first channel, and it was like Journey, and she liked it and he didn't. And we hit another one, and it was too hard. And finally we hit a station, and it was AC/DC. And of course, the one, You Shook Me All Night Long.
Oh yeah.
And they start singing it, and I'm talking, not without unabashed screaming at the top of their lungs. They say, roll down the windows. And I rolled down the windows, and they both put their hands on my shoulders while I'm driving. And they go, Brian, you got to sing with us. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do it. And of course I didn't care. So here we are, three old geezers driving down the road, cranking AC/DC and singing out loud as we can. It was a fun time.
Luckily you didn't pass the cop, huh?
yeah I think we would have probably got pulled over if that
was. Yeah, 2 points from that. One, did they tip you good? Two, how dare he not like Journey? How dare he?
I think he was looking for something a little more animated, but
totally get that.
If passengers want you to get involved, whether it be a couple or a group of girls that want some kind of pop, I mean, I'm more than happy to accommodate because it makes the ride more fun, right?
Well, oh yeah. We have a saying here that Jason, he would always say, no, do not touch the radio.
I'm kind of like a kind of a dick when I drive. I mean, right. I'm fine if you ask, but I always hate people that like just grab the radio. Like, yeah. Dude, this is not your hotel room where it's private and, you know, the guy that owns a hotel isn't sitting in the room. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm in the car. If you ask to use the radio, like, hey, can you turn some tunes on? Like your couple did. They asked you, could you find some? I would totally do that. I just don't like the passengers that, you know, basically start messing with my car. You know what I mean? It's like, this is my car, bro.
This is my car. Well, on that note, I'll have to confess, when people would ask, do you have an aux cord? And no. I'm probably not the only one that did this, but I had one. But my answer to that was, nope, sorry, it's not working right now.
Me too.
Absolutely. I got to the point, Brian, that I have a Verizon here, and I got a Verizon Wi-Fi in the car, and I hooked up a tablet to it, and I just gave them the tablet. They could pick their own music.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it actually loved, and because it was all college students, they would love that stuff. But then I don't have to try and find a channel or whatever they can listen to. They can just find their own stuff. I didn't get a lot of tips out of that, though. It didn't work that well.
You know, I don't know what your policy, what your guys' policy was on supplies like candy and water, but I did a beta test for about 3 months here and actually kept track of tips, fully stocked versus non-fully, you know, nothing. And there wasn't a difference, at least in my experience. And guess what happened?
Yeah. No, I've heard the same thing from other people that it just really doesn't move the needle at all. I think if people are going to tip, they're going to tip. I mean, a bottle of water or mint really isn't going to move the needle. But you connecting with them, singing AC/DC, that will move the needle way more than whatever accessory you have in the car.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
So that sounds like one of your best stories. Is there one that just, other than the puke trough, which I definitely need to go read.
Right.
What is there anyone in there that you're just like, yeah, either it was just a horrible ride and it made you question humanity and driving again?
Absolutely. So this I'm almost hesitant about telling you this story. It's in the book. It affected me personally. In fact, to be totally honest with you, it made me cry.
No.
I met a man, a middle-aged Hispanic man, on arguably the second worst night of his entire life. It involved his deceased daughter, teenage daughter. It was Christmas Eve. And he had a few cocktails, and the poor man fully broke down in my car. Mm. I mean, I'm talking about like to have a grown man sobbing in your car. It was the most emotional ride I've ever had, and made me realize, one, I'm extremely fortunate because I have two wonderful, they're now teens, but teenage kids. But it also made you realize that life is fragile. And that things that you take for granted can go away pretty quickly. But it affected me so much that I stopped driving after I dropped him off and immediately called my kids. And I was so effusive in my telling them how much I love them and I appreciated them. They probably thought I was on drugs or something. You know? Right. But yeah, I mean, I've had situations like that. And then you have situations where I've had two different people actually smoke crack in the back of my car.
Jeez.
I've had a situation where in San Francisco, and I won't go into too much detail, but I pick some guy up. He's acting strange. He's talking to himself in the back seat. I can't see him. And I get a text on my app that says, hey, you picked up the wrong passenger.
Oh,
the passenger that you picked up was waving his hands and has a knife.
Whoa.
And you can read the story, or the viewers can read the story if they want, but suffice it to say, it was the longest, you know, 15 minutes or 10 minutes that I think I've ever driven. And you have one of those situations, and it makes you question, Is it really worth this $10 ride that I'm doing at 2 a.m. picking up total strangers, you know?
Right. So what are you doing today? What's next for Brian as far as in the author world? Are you thinking about writing another book, or where do you go from here?
Well, I transitioned, so not driving anymore. I transitioned to the fitness world because I was kind of doing that, you know, pretty seriously anyway. So now I have an online fitness community called Silver Athlete, where I teach 40 to 60 year old beginner athletes how to go from couch to healthy in 4 months with no gym and no weights. Okay. And it's all online. So I'm doing that. But to your point, Jason, I mean, I've got another 25 to 30 stories that I could easily convert to another book. It's just a huge time commitment. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. I can imagine.
And it's expensive. I mean, without going into too much detail, you've got editing costs and book cover, you know, book design costs and proofreading costs. So you've got to kind of jump both feet into it. But will there be a second rearview mirror? Yeah, probably. Probably down the line. But right now I'm just focusing on really trying to help people get healthy, especially because a lot of people got hit, you know, got out of shape during COVID. So
what a great opportunity to get back into the gig world, though, because, you know, there's a lot of people that sit in their butts all day and eat McDonald's and they're not taking care of their health and they're just driving around.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, that's another benefit. Jasper, you mentioned earlier about meeting the people, about being the best part. But if you're involved in any kind of business endeavor, it's a great way to network. I mean, I'm still in contact with a handful of people that I really actually develop relationships with through ride sharing.
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, especially in this weird, funky, technology driven area. It's you don't know who you're going to meet. The next guy, you know, is in shorts and flip-flops, and he's a billionaire, you know what
right
I mean? And that's not that unusual. So this is a pretty interesting area.
It's a little unusual here.
Yeah, I would think so.
we wouldn't meet him. I think I've heard there was one night somebody saying he came out of retirement for this one idea, and he grew it into, in like 2 years, he grew it into a multi-million-dollar business. But that was the only one I talked to that did that, you know, locally. He was in town talking to metal manufacturers. So,
well, Brian, thank you. Author of Rear View Mirror, True Stories of Unusual Rides and Crazy Passengers from Late Night Uber Drivers. From a late night Uber driver. I appreciate you coming on. I hope people take a listen to it. I feel like more people will probably buy it that maybe aren't rideshare drivers, or maybe they just do food delivery, because, you know, like some of the stories you told us, like we've had those stories, you know, so not as exhilarating. But I know when I start telling Uber stories to non-gig workers, they're just like, oh my gosh, how do you deal with that? So,
but thank you. I mean, it's been a fun adventure. But I mean, I think the people that I met ride sharing makes the experience kind of invaluable. And will I ever do it again? Possibly. But it was a great experience, and I met a lot of great people in the process. So,
absolutely. I got to tell you, having read about this, I cannot wait to be back on the road. I'm like you, I've been home since April last year, and I have not taken a ride yet with passengers.
Oh, really?
I'm getting close.
Well, Brian, obviously we can get the book on Amazon. Is there anywhere you'd like people, if they want more information about you, to go?
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So if you want a taste of the stories and kind of what they're all about, the general flavor, you can go to my website, which is drivingfool.com. And that's Driving Fool. I called myself the Driving Fool. That's where that came from. And you can read a few of the stories there. The book is available on Amazon in both Kindle format and paperback. And then if you're out of shape and you need some guidance and a video-based course, if you're a beginner, you can reach me at brian@silverathlete.net.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the time, Brian.